Peter is speaking to the strangers scattered abroad, but those that strangers in the world's eyes, strangers to the world, as we sung tonight, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. But I don't know that we think that way a lot of times. We get mighty comfortable in this world. But really, and in the light of the epistle, 1 Peter, that is really the whole theme, the whole idea is that we are pilgrims and strangers. We're not permanent residents of this world, of this world system, of this culture. We are a different people. We are a chosen people. And we are a peculiar people. I like that. We've talked about that some. That's one of the uses the Holy Spirit gave him to speak about our unique standing in Christ that he uses, you remember, as an argument, as an encouragement to us who are strangers and pilgrims to march to a different drum, to live a different life, to show forth a very different witness to a lost and to a dying world. So indeed, this world is not our home, and if we own that, and if we believe that, then it should impact how we conduct ourselves in every facet in this world. I like what Ralph was talking to Keith about. I overheard a little bit of the conversation, but he was prioritizing his identity. That's an interesting thought. That would be an interesting exercise for us. And I like what he said. He said that first of all, he identified himself as a follower of Christ. First of all, who am I? Who is Ralph? Well, I'm a Christian, first and foremost. And then he said, next is his national identity as being of Portuguese descent. And then third, having to do with other things. That's important. How do we identify ourselves? Are we followers of Christ first and foremost? And that's really what Peter is talking about. In light of what we are, what Christ has called us to be, in the first heading of our outline, in light of the full salvation that is ours in Christ. In light of the sevenfold standing of what we are, what our standing in Christ. And then the other bookend you may remember was the suffering of Christ in our behalf. And so he put those two things together in the second point of the outline. Our witness, our life, over against the sevenfold standing in Christ and given the example of Christ for us to follow. It's all about the witness to a lost and dying world. And that's what we see. And so we want to continue tonight, if we can, Lord willing, without a whole lot of review. Enough. But having considered the life God calls upon His peculiar people to live, we've already looked at in this second heading, we are a peculiar people, a people of God's own purchasing by the precious blood of Jesus. And we have considered the life that God calls upon us as His peculiar people to live in regards to our flesh, in verse 12 of chapter 2, that we are to abstain from fleshly desires. A daily challenge, isn't it? We've got a very active flesh, and it wants to be satisfied in many different ways. And word and indeed, it wants to be satisfied. We've talked about that. But as His peculiar people, we are called upon to abstain from fleshly desires, whatever form they happen to take. As God's peculiar people, we have considered how we are to respond to governmental authority. What are we to do? We are to submit to every ordinance of man, right? We've talked about that. Every ordinance of man. As citizens, we are to, as God's peculiar people, to submit to every ordinance of man. We read that in verse 13 through 17 of chapter 2. As employees or as servants, modern day employees, we often feel as servants, as employees, don't we? Sandra does. I got a nod from her. Anyone who's ever been an employee understands that concept readily, don't you? I know Ralph does by conversations I've had with him in the past. And that's a challenge. But you know something? It's an opportunity to witness. And that's what Peter told us, didn't he? That as servants, this is an opportunity to witness. And he tells us how to respond to be, well, use that word again. Servants, be subject. Submit to the authority of your employer, to your master. How come? For Christ's sake. It's a witness, isn't it? It's a witness. It's all about the witness. And that's the theme that we see unfolding. It's all our life as His peculiar people. Because of the standing that is ours in Christ, because of the fullness of our salvation in Christ, we are called upon as God's peculiar people, as His chosen generation, to live our lives as a witness of Christ to this world. Both to commend the gospel and also to condemn them when they stand before God. Both are seen in this epistle. So He calls us to be a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people, and He calls us to live in every facet of our life as we respond to the authority of government, as we respond even to unjust employers or masters who abuse us or mistreat us or deal with us unfairly, that we are to respond as Christ responded to those that dealt with Him unfairly. That's hard to swallow in the flesh. Why He, in the beginning, starts out and says to us, refrain from fleshly desires. And our flesh does not desire to submit to governmental authority a lot of times. It does not desire to submit to masters or employers, especially if they are eggheads, knuckleheads, unfair, unjust, cheats, liars, or whatever else you might experience. But He calls us as His peculiar people not to respond to the flesh, in the flesh, but to remember the example of Christ, remember whose we are, and for His sake, to be willing to do as He did in those kinds of circumstances. It's all about the witness. It's all about the witness, brothers and sisters. And that's the message that comes through. And so it carries on now as we enter into chapter 3, into the marriage relationship. Into the marriage relationship. And that's where we want to begin tonight in chapter 3. And so, and what we begin to see is it doesn't matter whatever we are. Christ, we are God's peculiar people. We are a chosen generation. We are a holy priesthood. Not, as I mentioned this morning in the message, not as some deal with it on Sunday, but every day, everywhere. I am Christ's. I'm not my own. Every day, everywhere, every situation. It's all about the witness. All about the witness. So let us allow that to sink in. And so he goes to the home, and let's begin to read some here in chapter 3. I don't think we'll get through the whole chapter, but we can read it. In the same manner, Ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the behavior of the wives, while they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of braiding of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any terror or amazement. In like manner, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion on one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Let us ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading of that portion of chapter 3. I think we'll have do well if we can discuss that tonight in the time allowed. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this good Lord's day. We thank you for the blessings that we've enjoyed by your mercy. We thank you again for your word, your living word, your eternal word. As DeWitt prayed, help us this week, whatever portion you're pleased to allow us to see of this week ahead of us, help us, dear Lord, by leading of your Spirit and the counsel of your Word to live in obedience to your Word, thereby set forth pleasing witness to a lost and dying world. Help us to speak clearly and help us to be able to, each one of us, lay deeply in our hearts these instructions Peter writes in this epistle to the strangers scattered abroad. Help us to identify and remember that we are strangers in this world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. While we're here, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we are called upon as His peculiar people to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, to show forth that witness whatever circumstance we find ourselves in this life. Oh Lord, help us to lay hold of your grace, the leading of your Spirit, be such witnesses to a world that desperately needs to see Christ. In His name we pray. Peter now, First of all, addresses marriage, and he starts with the woman, the wife, and deals with that in a number of verses. And we want to look at that just a little bit now. Verses 1 through 6 lay out the powerful witness powerful, God-honoring witness of a godly wife who has enough faith to be willing to submit to her husband. I thought about those words as I began to approach this. And that's really what it's about. It is all about having enough faith to be willing to submit in each of these cases. Often against our will, certainly against the will of our flesh, but to be willing to submit. So he deals with the home, the marriage. We've talked about government. We've talked about our flesh and our nature, first of all. We've talked about government. We've talked about servants and masters, or employees and employers in a modern context. And now he goes to the home and he talks about submitting. And isn't it interesting? It was about subjection to the authority of government. It was about subjection to the authority of an employer or a master. And it's about, remember what kind of government that was. It was Nero that was in office, or was an emperor. And he also includes the unjust, the unfair, the cruel masters. Whether they're good or bad, kind or not. Submit, Christ's sake. It's a witness. It's about the witness. It's about the witness. And for the wife, it's about the witness, isn't it? It's about the witness. And it makes it very clear, doesn't it, that it is all about the witness, to be willing to submit for Christ's sake. It's interesting that the word submit continues to be used in every context, doesn't it? Every context. And the reminder that it's for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And it's what we're called upon to do and to be. So it's all about the witness. Verse 1, in the same manner. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? In the same manner, ye wives, be in subjection. In the same manner as what? Well, in the same manner, the immediate context was Christ, right? If we would review in chapter 2, in verse 21 through 25, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us. He did it for us. He was willing to suffer for us. He was willing to subject himself to unjust authority, governmental authority, religious authority, unjust, but he was willing to do it for us, leaving us an example. And so, then we come to chapter 3, in the same manner, well, in the same manner that Christ did. Or we might go further back in the context, in the same manner that we are to submit to governmental authority, even Nero, as wicked and ungodly as he was, God put him in that position, and we as citizens are to submit to every ordinance of man at whatever level of government. It's about the witness, isn't it? And it's about the example of Christ, and it's about whose we are. And are we willing to do that? Because God has told us to do that. Or whether it be a matter of employers or servants with their masters, whether they're good or not, are we willing? In like manner. So he's gathering up all that has gone before, isn't he? And he's saying, in like manner, now we're going to talk about wives, and we're going to talk again about submitting for Christ's sake, and it is all about the witness. And notice how the language is. It's really all about the witness. Verse 1, that becomes very clear. Notice what it says, in the same manner, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, what word? The word of the gospel, God's word. If they be disobedient to it, if they be lost, unbelievers, if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be one. By what? By your witness. See, it's all about the witness. It's all about the witness. That's what it's about with a servant in an unjust matter. Are you willing to show that master who has beaten you unjustly, who has deprived you of your pay, who has not acknowledged your hard work, are you willing to show him how Christ responded to that same kind of treatment that in the hope that he might be won? Ah. It's all about the witness. It's not how we would write the script. But God has written the script. It's not a new script, but it is all about the witness. And it's the kind of witness He calls upon His peculiar people to be. We may wish it were another way. We may would want to write it a different way so that it would feel better to us, perhaps. Be more in keeping with our preferences, but this is God's way, it's His book, and we're His people. And this is how He wants us to be. We can't escape that. And it's all about His idea of what it means to be a witness in this world. And that's exactly what Peter is telling us, and that's how he applies it here. And so, he's suggesting that if a woman is willing to submit to her husband, for Christ's sake, God may be pleased to use that willingness to touch the heart of an unbelieving husband and save his never-dying soul. Is that what he's saying? It is. Can't interpret it any other way. Verse 2 adds, while they behold your chaste conduct coupled with fear, not fear in the sense that we often use it, but in the term in the sense of a godly reverence for God, and you're willing to obey. See much of this kind of witness. That's God's witness, and that's what He would have us to be in all of these circumstances of life. And he goes on to say, who's adorning? He's still talking about the wife. Who's adorning? Whose attractive apparel, whose ornamentation, jewelry, accessories, all which are to, what, to attract people's attention, to make them stop and go, wow, she's pretty. Wow, look at that dress. I wonder where she got that. I wonder how much she... Ooh, did you see that necklace? What a lovely hairdo. That's the latest style. He said, no, not none of those things. Those in no way witness to Christ, witness for God, but rather let it be the hidden man, verse 4, of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament, the adornment, the jewelry, the clothing of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. It's all about the witness, isn't it? It's all about the witness. Let me ask you a question now, before we pass away from that. Rather than being preoccupied with how we look, by what we're wearing, what our accoutrements are, what our accessories are, what kind of clothes we're wearing. Let it be rather the apparel, the adornment of the hidden man of the heart. Who is that? Who's the hidden man of the heart? What is he talking about? Who's the hidden man? Any ideas about that? It might be Christ. It might be. That's a good thought, brother, and that's exactly what I was looking for. It is Christ, the hidden man. And so what is he saying? Wives, let the Christ in you come out. Let the world see Him. Not the gold, not the dress, not the adornments, not the fancy hairdo. Let the world see Christ. It's all about the witness. And not just for the women, of course, but that's what he's talking about here. Just for the wives. It's all about the witness. Our response to governmental authority, just or unjust, Nero or Mr. Obama or whoever it might be, it's about the witness. How we respond to an unjust employer, a one who's unfair, one who's not paying us enough, one who hasn't given us a raise in 15 years, one who doesn't appreciate what we're doing, one who lies to us, offers us something and never comes through. Whatever the case, it's all about the witness. God says to us, let them see Christ. It's all about the witness. Most of the time in us. It isn't that hidden man of the heart. It's the old man of the flesh. And that's not a good witness. It's not God-honoring. It's not what He's bestowed upon us, that sevenfold standing in Christ for. So, this is hard to swallow for us in many cases, to really take it all and receive it all, and then to try by God's grace to live it all in every circumstance of life. Because we're so quick to respond in the flesh, but he goes on to, you know, he really labors at this with the wives. I don't know why. He spends a lot of verses on it, 6 of them. And then he uses the example. He said, this is not a new thing with God. This is not a new thing with God. For after this manner, verse 5, in the old time, the holy women also. In the old time. That's interesting. We're talking, now this was written 2,000 years ago, Justin. That's a long time ago. Things are different now. But the interesting thing was that when Peter wrote, referring, when he talked about the holy women of old, guess what he was talking about, how long ago it was? Almost 2,000 years earlier. So we have no case. When we say it's 2,000 years ago that Peter wrote this, but he was writing and referring and using as an example women like Sarah, holy women, that is women who have been made peculiar, God's purchased people. God's peculiar people, God's chosen people. Sarah was one of those. Abraham's wife, she was chosen of God. She was blessed of God. She was an object of God's mercy. She had not been a people, just like we have not been a people. But now we are the people of God. All of the same things. 2,000 years earlier, see, God's witness for His peculiar people has not changed. It's the same. And that's the argument. He said, look, he referred back 2,000 years ago, after this same manner in times of old, the holy women, those women that have been set apart by God, called to be holy, holy people, a chosen people, just as we have been in Christ. After this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God, the women who trusted in God, the men who trusted in God, the people who trusted in God, trusted that He would take care of it, that He would protect me, that He would bless me, that He would do what He said He would do. And I'm willing to trust Him, and I'm willing to put it on the line, whether it be with a government that Nero is the head of, or whether it be with a master or an employer who's unfair to me, who doesn't appreciate me, or whether it be a husband who can be cruel at times and unreasonable in his expectations of me. But I'm willing, because I trust in God, to show forth the witness that He's called me to show forth. Are you willing? Are we willing? You see, it's really about that, isn't it? The witness. Are we willing? Because it can't be whether it's we want to or not in our old nature. Because that's never the case. But it is about the witness. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves. How did they adorn themselves? Was it with silver and gold? Was it with nose piercing, ears piercings, tattoos, toe rings? No, it wasn't with any of those things. He says all the things that are in vogue today is why I mentioned those things. No, they adorned themselves. They adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And then he calls on Sarah as a witness. Abraham's wife, Sarah. It just so happens that the name Sarah means God's princess. I wonder if he chose Sarah because her name means God's princess. And so he set her out as an example. He said, even as Sarah. Even as Sarah. God's princess. Abraham's wife. Referred to Abraham, her husband. Lord. Which interpreted means master. Did she really say that? Well, according to the scripture, she did. Genesis chapter, I think in verse 12. So, it's all about the witness. And he says to Christian wives, and you are Sarah's daughter. You are daughters of Sarah, God's princess. And so by extension, what he's saying, you also are God's princesses. Oh, what an honor that is to be called God's princesses. God's royal family. And isn't that what he's been telling us throughout the whole epistle, isn't it? That we are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. We were not a people, but now we're God's people. And by virtue of that, yes, Christian women, Christian wives are God's princesses, just like Sarah. What an honor that is, isn't it? Yes, it is. You are God's princesses. You are daughters of Sarah, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement, with any terror. That's an interesting thought, as long as you're not afraid. And you know, that's what it comes down to with us. We're afraid. We're afraid to trust God that way. We're afraid to trust Him to that degree. We might get trampled on. We might get stepped on. We might get abused. We might get cheated out. We might miss out on something. In every case, it comes down to fear. We fear something. We fear we might be put to death. We fear we might not be able to live our lives in a way that we want to. We fear a lot of things. Wives fear. Today, they don't want to be in subjection to their husbands. They fear. They're not willing to trust God with this. They're not willing to do it out of fear. And with us men, it's fear. You know, to submit. Oftentimes it comes down to a fear. Fear of dying. fear of dying for Christ's sake. We understand it when we put it in a context where somebody holds a gun up to your head and says, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ? If so, I'm going to blow your head off." You understand the concept of fear that might overwhelm you at a time like that. Then, you know, that really puts the trust to the test, doesn't it? It's often afraid of something. Afraid of what might happen. Afraid of how I might be abused. Afraid of how I might be misused. Afraid of how I might, you know, afraid of a lot of things. Afraid of how I might be left penniless. Afraid of a lot of things. But he said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid. Not afraid to trust God. Are you afraid to trust God, brother, sister? Afraid to trust Him. That's oftentimes why we are unwilling to completely let go. Follow Christ. We're afraid. I might go broke if I do that. We're talking about Zacchaeus this morning. What a witness. When the Lord saved him, you remember, and one of the first things out of his mouth, as that rich man as he was, "Lord, I am going to give half of all of my wealth to the poor." He wasn't afraid, was he? Wasn't afraid. And that's it, really comes down to that. You know, trusting the Lord sometimes is scary. You remember the disciples on the boat going over the Sea of Galilee in the storm. And we've said this many times. It's a great illustration. I never get tired of it. I hope you don't. But he had said to them at the beginning, "We're going over to the other side." Jesus has said that. We are going over to the other side. They got in the boat, started the journey. The Lord fell asleep in the back. He wasn't paying any attention to what was going on. So it seemed. The storm came up. The waves got big. The boat started filling up with water and sinking. It's a terrifying experience. And they had some fear. The Lord didn't want to know why are you afraid. He wanted faith. Trusting God, fear, they don't go together. They don't go together. But we're afraid many times to trust Him enough to do exactly what He says. To be exactly what He calls us to be. Fear of something. But when we're fearing, so that we're unwilling, then we're not trusting. What did Christ do when they were beating Him, when they were abusing Him, when they were mocking Him, when they stripped Him naked, when they drove those nails into His hands and into His feet? What did He do with all of that unjust treatment? Verse 23 of chapter 2, I remind you, it says, "Who, when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously." That's the thing. Are we willing to commit it all to Him? Commit ourselves to Him? Put it in His hands. Let Him sort it out. And we just walk in the footsteps of the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's what He's calling us to do in every facet of our lives. And that's what Peter is writing about, and that's what we've been studying. Verse 8 through 12, verse 7, he turns to the husbands, and he says, "We have an obligation as well to dwell with our wives according to knowledge." What does he mean? Knowledge. You know, according to knowledge, with understanding, giving honor unto the wives. Giving honor unto the wives. as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In Ephesians chapter 5, it's interpreted a little differently, that husbands love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wow, now that's honor. That is honoring. You can't get any better than that. He gave himself for the church, his bride. He gave himself completely over to, for, ultimately, totally, completely, to the point where he died that awful death for the church. Husbands, love your wife. That's giving honor to them, isn't it? Give yourself over to them, for their benefit, for their good, for their comfort, for their happiness, for their joy. So it's a two-way street. Why are we to do it? For Christ's sake, it's all about the witness. All about the witness. World, anyone in the world ought to be able to look at our life in any facet, at any time, in any circumstance, how we respond to governmental authority, how we respond at our job, how we live in our homes, how we deal with our children, how we treat our wives, women, how you respond to the authority of your husband. It's all about the witness. Every one of those facets, all the details of our life, anyone who's looking should see Christ. It's all about the witness. It's all about the witness. I don't know how you feel about that. It's humbling to me. And I realize, above all things, that I have not even touched of what it means. Be God's among God's chosen people. Heirs of salvation, so great a salvation as has been given to us in Christ. A royal priesthood, chosen generation, a peculiar people. It's a high calling, it's a privilege, but He calls upon us to be a very God, let us reflect upon it. What kind of witness? How I respond to governmental authority. How I deny my flesh. A lot of honor the name of Christ.